Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then get one-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean Angus ground beef chuck for $3.99 each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Infinite complacence. People went to and fro the earth about their little affairs, serene in the assurance of their dominion over this small, spinning fragment of solar driftwood, which by chance or design, man has inherited out of the dark mystery of time and space.
So on this edition of Into the Fray, I welcome on John Corey Stringer. He is the author and illustrator of the Blue and Rue series of children's books and cartoons. I checked those out, by the way, Corey. We are not here to talk about that. We are here to talk about the fact that you and your family had some very interesting paranormal experiences, and this all began when you were around 9 years old, right? And we don't need specifics, but if we could give the state maybe this occurred in, that would be pretty cool. But yeah, welcome on, Corey. Nice to have you.
Well, thanks for having me. As I've told you before, I'll let your listeners know that this is the first time I've ever told these stories in a public setting. So, like I said, you're the first, and hope you guys get a kick out of these stories. They're all 1,000,000% true. I'm not going to embellish anything to make things, you know, scary or, you know, anything like that. I'm just going to tell you exactly what happened from my perspective.
A thank you to whoever your friend was. I remember that from the initial email. You said, oh, my friend told me I should come on your show and you would really like the story. So I want to thank that friend and you for being willing to do so.
I actually really like the show from what I've listened so far.
Like it. Thank you very much, Corey. I appreciate that. Oh, and so people don't think that I'm being a jerk and calling you by the wrong name. You prefer being called Corey versus John. So because everyone goes, well, I thought you said his name was John Corey Stringer, but you like Corey, so I'm going to go with that just to let people know I do pay attention sometimes.
Corey my whole life. Whenever someone says John, I'm like,
you're in trouble.
Who are you talking to?
or you're in trouble, right? You're like, We got all the names used. We're in a whole lot of trouble. We've all been there. Well, yeah, let's dive in. So you're 9 years old. You guys move into a home. Where is this home? Again, you don't have to be super specific if you don't want to, but maybe even just the state might be good for people to hear.
Okay, well, Kentucky. I was really originally born in Somerset, Kentucky, but I've lived in Lexington for almost 20 years now. So this house was in Somerset. But the things that happened to me, we really should start with my maternal grandfather, who I called Papa. When he was a kid, possibly even around the same age, I'm not 100% sure of his age, I just know he was a kid. He was born in North Carolina. I don't remember the relation to him of the older woman who died, but it was a relative. I'm not sure who it was. She had given him this Victrola. Do you know what a Victrola is?
I do.
By chance?
But if, okay, so, my parents actually still have one of those from that was passed down to them. But for those that don't know, let them know what that is.
So Victrola is this old-timey record player that you've probably seen it if you've seen old movies. It wasn't electric. It had this crank on the side, and you would crank it to make your record turn. So if you wanted to be funny and make your song sound funny, you'd crank it really fast, you know, and Al Jolson would sing really fast. So he was sitting here playing this Victrola that was left to him. Shortly before this relative of his died, she had this little dog. I don't remember the dog's name. I don't even know what kind of dog it was, but it was a little dog. And the dog would ignore everyone on the face of the earth except for her. So when the dog would see her get really happy and excited, you know, wiggle butt, wag his tail and stuff, start yipping. Everyone else, dog couldn't care less. So fast forward a bit, my papa is sitting on the floor in this old house and he's playing his Victrola. And there's this really, really heavy door that no one could open. Like even his big, strong father, who was a railroad worker, he had trouble opening the door. But, you know, the door would open. It just took a lot of, you know, elbow grease to get it open. So Papa's sitting there, he's playing his Victrola, and the dog, who completely ignored everybody on the face of the earth, perked up, looked towards the door. The door glides open with no trouble whatsoever, right? And the dog is like greeting someone who's not there. But Papa is looking at where this door opened, and he saw the outline of a figure, no features, at least not that he ever told. He didn't see any features, but he saw the outline of a human standing in this door. It was daytime, by the way, not night. And the dog's like, you know, like, oh, hello, hello. And, you know, but there's no one there. So he carried that story with him for the rest of his life. And he told, you know, us, obviously. That Victrola is in my family now. It was in, you know, we moved into that new house back in 1989. The Victrola came with us. So we put that in the basement. And almost, so I forgot to tell you that in the initial email, but if I'm going chronologically, you need to remember that fact that it all started with.
Yeah. That's certainly of interest from what I've read so far. Absolutely.
All right. So we move into the new house and almost immediately weird stuff starts happening. I'm a classic movie fanatic, specifically the comedies, you know, like Three Stooges, Laurel and Hardy, Chaplin, and so forth. And so I had all these VHS tapes. Like almost immediately, stuff would just go missing. Like out of the blue, missing. You'd be like, you know, when you're a kid, you're like, who stole my movie? You know, it's gone. No, we didn't take your movie. You know, you just misplaced it. You know, there's still boxes and stuff everywhere. So the movie specifically I'm remembering is called Abbott and Costello Meet the Killer. It just vanished. It was not where I left it. It was on a little stack where I kept all my movies. It was just gone. We looked all over the house. Couldn't find it. Not even if everything was unpacked. Then fast forward, you know, a few years later, like maybe even 10 years later, the movie just, boom, reappeared on an end table in the living room. Like out of nowhere. Well, I walked in there one day and there was the movie sitting there. And you know, I accused my mother. I was like, did you take this to school to show your students and just forgot about it? And she's like, no. But it was just right there. Perfectly, you know, clean, dusty, no fingerprints, no nothing, just right there. So stuff like that happened a lot. And, you know, you just chalk it up to whatever. We didn't think anything of it. Just, it could have been anything. Maybe one of my friends borrowed it and just felt bad and brought it back or something. So there was always the feeling, specifically for me, that someone was watching me. You know that feeling you get when you're being watched and you look around? Not an eerie feeling, just like, oh, who's looking at me? I'd get that feeling if I was in the living room, especially in the basement. And occasionally we'd hear things, you know, footsteps, so forth. But things really started happening around Christmas. I can't remember the exact year, but I want to say it was like 1992 or 93. Something like that. So I would have been 13 or 14. My parents were gone somewhere. I'm not sure where. But my sister, myself, and her boyfriend at the time, now her husband, were the only ones there in the house, along with my dog, who was a golden retriever named Alex. Kevin, her boyfriend, was in the basement playing video games, and my sister and I were upstairs, and she was wrapping Christmas presents, and I was watching Mickey's Christmas Carol on TV because I'm an overgrown child. The way the room is laid out, you have a doorway that leads to a long hallway on the right side of the room. The TV was on the left side of that room. So my sister was sitting on the floor with her body oriented towards that doorway that leads to the long hallway. And that doorway had a vinyl door that you could pull, slide, to shut yourself off from the hallway to the living room. And we never left that door closed. We just left it open. In fact, eventually we just took it down because it was so ridiculous. There was no point in having it. But so it was closed. But whenever anyone would walk past that door, even if it was closed, the breeze as you walked by would cause the little vinyl door to, kind of whoosh a bit, kind of move. So she's wrapping presents. I'm watching the cartoon. The dog is on the floor with her. My sis stops wrapping the presents and just looks up. And out of the corner of my eye, I notice that the little vinyl door kind of whooshed a bit. Alex, the dog, also kind of looked up the doorway. She says, "Did you see that?" And I said, "No, I didn't see anything." And she called out for Kevin. And, you just walk by the door. Kevin's like, "Oh, I'm down here." And so she goes, "I just saw a man in a white shirt walk past the door in the hallway." So Kevin comes running up the stairs like Rambo. We are looking throughout the whole house trying to find this man in the white shirt. We couldn't find anything. So we go back. She goes back to rapping again. Kevin goes back downstairs. Alex, on the other hand, the dog, he's still just staring at the doorway. And meanwhile, next time it happens, I see it. At the same time, my sister sees it. It was a man in a long white shirt, like a night shirt. I don't know what you would call it. Not like an old-timey Dickensian, flowing thing, but just like a long white t-shirt. And it was an old man. Walked past that door, causing the vinyl door, the breeze, to move when he walked by. Alex started barking. Sis flipped out. Kevin came running up the stairs again. Before Kevin got upstairs, I ran into the living room where the guy was walking towards from the hallway. So I run in there, this is within 5 seconds of me seeing it. There's no one in that living room. Kevin's up there. Again, we sweep the house. Nothing. Alex is flipping out. We couldn't find anything. We had no explanation for it, but it was an old man in a long white t-shirt. Mom and dad come home from wherever they were, and we were telling them what happened. And of course, they just blow it off, whatever. So we don't tell anyone else. Fast forward a little bit, maybe a week or so. My nanny and papa come for Christmas. They lived in Virginia. They come for Christmas. I don't know where I was when this happened, but my papa was back in my sister's bedroom, which is the very end of the long hallway that we saw the man in the white shirt walk down. In that same hallway, there is a bathroom. And so my nanny was using that bathroom. And my mom was home in the kitchen cooking dinner, I'm sure. I don't know where my father was. I don't know where my sister was. My mom hears my nanny calling out, "Alfred, why'd you just walk in here on me?" And if you knew the way they talked, it'd be really funny because you have to imagine her. My nanny sounded like Katharine Hepburn on crack. That's the only way I can describe it. And my papa, they both have these really thick North Carolina accents. So it's just really funny. So papa's in the back. He's like, "Jesus Christ, Gene, I'm watching the news. I didn't walk in on you." And so mom, they're just shouting back and forth. And mom walks back there. It's like, "What is happening?" And nanny says, "An old man in a white shirt just walked in on me in the bathroom." And mom's face just went ashen because she hadn't told anyone about this. And when we get back, she tells us what happened. And we're like, "Oh my God." So So we figured, you know, okay, well, there's some weird stuff going on in this house. That would explain why I get the feeling of someone watching me. So over the years, we saw it so often, the man in the white shirt. Everyone in my family saw it. The last person to see it was my father, who poo-pooed it for the longest time, like, you all are crazy. And then I'll never forget the look on his face when he finally saw it. Literally jaw open, like, oh. And I was like, aha, I told you I wasn't crazy. But I've seen its reflection in a sliding glass door that leads to the back porch. The dog saw it a million times. Some of my friends have seen it. My sister had a chinchilla at one point. The chinchilla reacted to it. We saw it so often that we got used to it. You know, I mean, it could have walked into the living room and sat on the couch and I'd have been like, hey, how's it going? And that's how we used to it. We just like, that's just the man in the white shirt. Don't worry about it. And I've seen it walk down that hallway. I've seen it walk past that door. It's always going the same way, by the way. And it never goes from the living room to the hallway. It goes from the hallway to the living room. Always the same direction. I've seen it do that literally as I'm walking towards the hallway to go down it. And of course, there's a little bitty cold patch right when you walk past there, right after you see it, of course. That happens right when you see it. So we saw it a million times, so many times we saw it. I had been laying in bed there in my bedroom. And you know how it feels when you're laying in the middle of your bed and someone comes into your room to talk to you and they sit on the edge of the bed. You know how it feels? Like you get that, you kind of roll towards the indention from mm-hmm. where they're sitting. Well, I felt that. So I figured, you know, mom or someone's coming in to say something to me. And so I roll over, there's no one there. But there's still the sensation that someone is sitting on that bed. And I'm just looking around like, what? And by the way, I wasn't asleep. Like, I didn't wake up from a sleep, so this wasn't a dream. I was, like, going to sleep, but I wasn't asleep yet. So I'm sitting there, I'm looking around, and I'm feeling like there's no one there, but I'm touching the indention. Like, you know, there's no. And then the really weird part was I felt them get up off the bed. So, you know, the sensation someone gets up off your bed, and you kind of go, and you go back. That's what I felt. And you talk about someone not sleeping after that. That was me. I'm just sitting there going, okay, nothing. Just sat on my bed and got up. But that happened. My girlfriend, Tom, who's now my wife, shout out to Emily. Hello. We were downstairs in the basement watching TV and stuff. And we were the only ones in the house. We heard someone upstairs turn on the water in the kitchen sink. We're the only ones in the house. Go upstairs. Water's running. No one's there. Turn the water off. Go back downstairs. Do what we were doing. We're getting ready to go. You know, I'm going to take her home. I notice that the closet doors in the basement are open. They were closed before. So stuff like that, you know, nothing that I would consider terrifying. Like, it was never malevolent or anything like that. It's just weird things that you can't explain would constantly happen in that house. So I think it's my parents, just this past year, they sold the house and moved into a new house. And the people who were buying the house from them, one of the first things they asked them was, like, is there anything weird about this house? Did anyone die in the house?
Mm.
And we're like, no, enjoy your new home.
Well, yeah, why ever do you ask? What do you mean?
Be a tenant there on occasion, you know, so we just, just hightail. And that's why I'm not going to tell exactly where the house was.
That's right.
So as far as I know, nothing weird's happened in the new house. The next thing that happened around the same time, a buddy of mine and I, his name was Rodney. His name is still Rodney. He's still around. We were spending the night at another one of my friend's houses. And we, of course, you know, teenage boys, we commandeered the basement and just, you know, raised hell all night. So we were sleeping or going to sleep in what's called the log room, where they keep the firewood for the fire. There were two beds in there. So, you know, we're going to sleep. We don't even know what time it is, but it's really late. I just happened to look up and I see a shadowy figure walking through the room. Rodney says, do you see that? And I say, yes. And we both see this it's a shadow. That's the only thing I can describe it as. And walked right past the beds and leaves the log room to go into the main area of the basement. So we run over there, flick the lights on. Nothing's in there. We run into the main area of the basement. There's no one there. We don't go back to sleep for the rest of the night. We stayed up the rest of the night. I remember distinctly MTV was having the TV show called The State. They were having a marathon of The State. And we just spent the rest of the night watching The State. And when Ryan, our buddy, when he got up, we told him what happened. And he told us about all the weird stuff that happened in his house. But that's the only one I specifically experienced in that house. Several years later, my buddy and I, we move in together at a place here in Lexington called Park Plaza. It's just a really nice condo building. We live on the 19th floor. So we were there the year, I think it was like 2002 or 2003, something like that. So I was in my 20s. He was in his 20s. He's a little bit older than me, but he was in his 20s as well. The layout of our place, the living room, and there was a little hall that led to, you know, the entrance of our apartment. I was in a chair with my back to the entrance where people would, you know, you'd have to walk through this little bitty corridor to walk into our living room. So my back was to that. He and his girlfriend, now his wife, were laying on a couch to my left, and we were watching. I'd never seen the movie The Maltese Falcon before, so he was showing me The Maltese Falcon. And so we were watching the movie, and I was really enjoying it. Something had happened in the movie, and he wanted to talk about it, so he paused the movie. You know, when someone pauses a movie you're watching, you instinctively look at them, you know, like, why'd you pause the movie? And when he looks at me, he first makes eye contact with me, and then he looks above me, like behind me and above me. His eyes get the size of dinner plates, and his jaw is just, you know. And I'm sure it happened in like a split second, but in my mind, it's a slow motion. I like whirl my head around to see what was behind me. And in doing so, we had artwork all over our place. We are big movie fans and stuff like that. So we had art everywhere. Now, whipping my head around, I see in the reflection of one of the framed pieces on the wall, there's a man standing behind me. I mean, I saw it plain as day. So, but by the time my head gets all the way around, there's nothing there. But I saw it in the reflection. And he saw it plain as day. Just, you know, bam, right there in front of him. And I whipped my head back around to him. I was like, did you see that? And he's like, yeah, there's someone behind you. So we go into Bruce Willis mode. He runs into his room, gets his handgun. We're going all through our place. We check all the rooms, the bathroom. Couldn't find anything. But when we go to check the door to enter our place, which we always kept locked, the door was open. We could never find who it was behind me. But there was someone standing behind me. But they were gone like that. So that's the only thing that happened in that place. But that's still the most unnerving thing that ever happened to me. It was just really creepy, the sensation of someone standing right behind me and seeing it and the reflection of artwork. But in the split second, the time you turn your head around, there's nothing there, but you still have the sensation that you're being watched.
Now, did your friend describe it as the man in the white shirt? Did he say, oh, that guy had a long white gown looking shirt on?
No. If it was, I wouldn't have been freaked out about it, because yeah. I was so used to the man at that point. I've been, oh, that's just Frank. You know, don't worry about him. But no, that was pretty creepy. And if you talk to my friend to this day, he's like, yeah, that's the creepiest thing I ever saw.
Yeah, and since when did ghosts actually use front doors, right? That's so you're kind of going, well, was that a ghost situation or was that something else?
Why do ghosts have to stand behind you and like loom over you? Why can't they just like walk around in front of you?
Yeah,
why
do they got to be behind that. You? No. They do. They seem to just love that. They love basements. They love closets and dark hallways. I don't know what that is, but yeah. Yeah, I bet that did freak you right out. You see something in a reflection, you're going to expect to see it when you turn around in mere moments and it's not there. That's a problem.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
So that's still the creepiest thing that's ever happened to me. There's something I mentioned to you in the initial email. I said, something happened that saved my life. That's paranormal. This was this past summer. My birthday's in July. So I got sick, really, really sick with COVID July, right around July 4th. And I'm not one of those people who don't get vaccinated, by the way. I'm fully vaxxed, boosted, all that stuff. So. But I still got, I got struck down for the count, man. I was really bad off. I spent all of July 4th in bed struggling to breathe. I just couldn't breathe. I remember the sensation. I'm skipping forward a bit. I'm missing some. About a year or two, maybe a year and a half before I got sick with COVID, I started seeing whenever I would look at a clock, not specifically to check the time, what time is it, my show's coming on, something like that. Just walking by a clock, you're just having a glance at it. Or you're messing around on your phone and you notice a time stamp on your phone, something like that. I would always see 12:34, 1, 2, 3, 4, right? It happened so often, I eventually just started making fun of it to my wife. I'd be like, 1, 2, 3, 4. And she'd be like, So we just think nothing of it. Just happened to glance at a clock. It says 1, 2, 3, 4, no matter where I'm at. So keep that in mind. So here I am in bed, struggling to breathe. I'm asleep. My papa died January 2021, I believe. So he'd been gone for a while. But I remember the feeling that I'm drifting away while I'm asleep. I saw, the only way I can describe it is like, imagine a camera, like a video camera in a tight close-up of your face. It's pulling away, okay? But you still see yourself lying there, but you're pulling away straight up. That's what I saw in my head. I'm really struggling, even in my dream, I'm really struggling to breathe. And then I quit breathing. And I'm aware that I'm not breathing in the dream. I hear my papa's voice in the dream, plain as day. And he said, in his North Carolina accent, he said, "You're drowning. Wake up." My eyes shoot open. The first thing I see is 1, 2, 3, 4 on the clock, directly in front of my face. I have this it's a light alarm clock. The light will come on and gradually wake you up. And that's the first thing I saw. My face was right by it. And I could not breathe. I was completely airtight. I couldn't breathe through my mouth. And I couldn't breathe through my nose. That was just drowning, in the nastiness that comes with COVID. So I ooze out of bed like a slug, go to my bathroom and cough up pure evil. And I can finally breathe again. And I go downstairs and I tell my wife what happened. It was his voice. He told me to wake up, and it was at 1, 2, 3, 4 that I had been seeing all that time since, right after he died. 1, 2, 3, 4. And to this day, in fact, last night I saw 1, 2, 3, 4 when I happened to look up at the DVR, you know, the digital readout on the front of the DVR. I saw 1, 2, 3, 4. I still see it. So whenever I see it, I'm like, hey, Papa, you know, shout out. Thanks for saving my life. Yeah. So that's my story, man. That's what the stuff I've seen.
That is really cool because in essence, you were drowning because you had all that crap in your lungs. And then you have this dream and he tells you, hey, wake up, you're drowning, and you go cough it all out.
So, and after I coughed, I could do it. I mean, it was in my trachea, man. I couldn't breathe. And, you know, I don't know if you've had COVID or not, but it's just like, there's nothing you can breathe in your nose when you have that. So it was, when I coughed all that stuff up and there was blood in it, it was just pure evil came out of me. Yeah. That was pretty wild. That's the most recent thing that happened to me. That's what it was. I'm pretty sure I've covered everything. So many people saw the man in the white shirt, and the stories were so similar that I don't want to tell them all because they would just blend together. But basically, what I told you is what other people would see. And the people who would, like, my wife's really mad. She was born on Halloween. She's a Halloween baby, and it drove her crazy that she could never see it. I'm like, you're not going to see it because you're going to be looking for it.
Right.
I mean, if you're sitting there staring at the doorway, you're not going to see it. It's always when you're doing something.
But you do mention, and I don't know if you already covered this with the water being on and then the closet doors open down in the basement, and she was there for some of that. I don't know if this counts, but you did mention in the email that your wife never saw the man in the white shirt, but she experienced other things. Was that the other things?
That's the other thing.
Okay.
Yeah. Her mom tells us that the house that, you know, Emily, my wife, the house she grew up, she swears it's haunted by their old dog Bingo. But I don't know any specific stories about that. I never saw anything at their house. But she swears up and down that their old dog Bingo haunts the house. And Bingo was a cool dog, so I hope it is.
I would much rather an animal haunt. If something had to be in my home, I would prefer the animal over probably any person, even if it's a nice person. I think it would still freak me out pretty bad.
No, the man in the white shirt never really bothered us. After a while, you just get used to it. You really do. I don't know if you've talked to other people who grew up in haunted houses and stuff, but you really do get used to it as long as it's not malevolent, you know?
I do hear that quite a bit.
It's just another thing, you know? You're like, oh, there it goes, hey.
Now, was he transparent in any way, shape, or form?
No, he was solid, but I only saw... He was solid, but I never saw legs.
And he always walked the same path. If you saw him, if anyone saw him, it was that same exact path.
Leading right to... I always call it the blue room because the living room at our old house fit in blue curtains. So I just call it the blue room. Really a dining room that they only ever ate in at like Christmas and Thanksgiving. So you're hardly ever in there, but that's where he would always go. We moved in there. My parents bought that house from an older couple. I don't know if anyone died in the house. I have no clue. I do know that one of those people, you know, I don't know if it was the husband or the wife, one of their parents were living in the house with them for a while, and they were, I don't think it was hospice, you know, but they were like under some kind of care there. So I guess it's possible they could have died in the house. I'm not 100% sure. But most people have to be dead by now. I mean, they were old when they bought the house from them. So there's no way of me knowing. And like I said, it was never really a problem. After a while, we just got used to it. It never did anything. It was more annoying when stuff would go missing. Like just the Abbott and Costello movie I told you about, that's just one of the many things that would randomly go missing and then even more randomly reappear in a completely nonsensical location, sometimes years later. That was annoying. There was a time when I guess I was 14 or 15. I was in the basement and I was playing Street Fighter 2 for all you old school video game players out there. I was playing Street Fighter 2 on Super Nintendo. There was we used an old green chest. It's like a desk that had like drawers on it, but it was basically a chest. And we had our stereo down there resting on top of the desk. And it was right beside me on my left side. And I had this little plastic cup that had a handle on it. And that was with my drink in it. The stereo was not on. So there would be no vibration, you know, that would cause this, what's about to happen, to happen. And the cup wasn't like on the edge of the desk. So just keep that in mind. I was just there minding my business playing the game. And all of a sudden, this green mug flies off the desk, goes by my face, and hits the ground to my right. And when I say flies, I don't mean like it goes and just kind of falls off. It was like someone whacked it, and it was right by my face. And there was no one down there to do it. So that woke me, that'll perk you up. And that's really the only aggressive thing that happened in that house was the cup. And I still have that cup to this day. I love to drink out of it. Whenever I get it, I tell my wife, I say, oh, I'm getting the haunted cup.
It survived, huh? That's pretty cool, actually.
There's a really weird sound, so you might have to edit that out. I don't know what it was.
Oh, really?
But yeah, oh, it's when you're talking.
Maybe it's somebody saying hello over there. It's always when I'm talking about this subject, never Bigfoot or any other stuff. So that'll be interesting when I go back to edit, if I can hear. I didn't hear it live like you did.
Yes, it sounded really jacked up on my end. Mm. So whatever you were saying, we didn't hear it.
Strange. No, I was just saying it's cool that the mug survived the flying incident.
Still have it. We still have the Victrola too. It was in the basement at our old house, and it's in the basement at their new house. Actually, in the closet in my bedroom at the new house.
So then, do you think something may be attached to the Victrola somehow? Is that why we made sure to bring that up in the beginning?
I brought it up in the beginning because it tied to my papa, who had that experience, and then for the most recent thing that happened to me, it was him who woke me up. That's why I told that story.
Yeah.
I've never had anything happen with the Victrola. I've messed around with it. I show it to my friends and I tell them the story, but I've never had anything happen with the Victrola. I have seen a Ouija board flip off my friend's lap before, but.
And that was in that house?
We did play the Ouija board a lot in our old house, and the Ouija board actually went missing in that house. But this was at a friend of mine's house. She was having a birthday party, and they bring the Ouija board, Corey. I was like, okay, so I'll bring the Ouija board. And I wasn't actively using it. My buddy, whose name was Josh, he was using it with I don't remember who he was using it with, but you know, it wasn't really doing anything. So they're both sitting there, and they broke contact with whoever they claimed to be talking to. And I saw it. No one was touching the board on Josh's lap, but I saw that board flip off his lap. And you talk about people at the party freaking out. So I just walk over and I pick up the Ouija board while they're all flipping out. And I just, you know, okay, I'll just take it back home then. Just didn't think anything of it. I just took it back home and put it back in the basement where it was. And the thing went missing. We don't know where it went. Mom wasn't one of those people who were like, oh, I've got to turn it. No, it just went missing like so many other things in that house. So the people who bought the house, maybe one day a Ouija board will show up in their kitchen and they'll be like, what the hell is this?
Oh, but can you imagine? Those poor people, they would not like that at all. I guarantee it.
Curious playing the Ouija board with them and stuff, but that's really it. Nothing too scary, nothing too malevolent happened to me. These are just very interesting things, but I always say ghosts are real. If someone brings it up, I'm not one of those people who will walk around and be like, I've seen ghosts, you know, but if someone's talking about it, I'm like, I'll be like, I've seen some things, and I'll tell the stories that I've just told you and all your listeners. But I've never told them in a public setting before today.
So I do find it interesting that the sightings seem more like a residual haunting type situation, right? Like just the movie piece replaying that same loop over and over. But you do have a lot of interactive stuff too. You have the incident where something was sitting on your bed. You had the water being turned on and doors being open and closed. And of course, things going missing and then reappearing. That always fascinates me because where does it go in the interim, right? Where in the world does it go? So do you think that was still the man in the white shirt, or is that something else entirely doing these other things?
don't know. I don't know why. If it is a residual haunting, from my understanding, the reading I've done over the years about those things, they just seem to be like caught in a loop, you know? So I don't know why a loop would involve stealing an Abbott and Costello movie, taking it to the netherworld for however many years, and then putting it back on an end table randomly. I don't know why they would do that. I just know from the things I've read over the years, some people are just more in tune to this kind of thing, you know? My nanny was more in tune to weirdness. She just seemed to know things that other people wouldn't know, not in a scary way. For example, my mother got a phone call from my wife's husband's mother letting her know that her daughter was pregnant. Okay. So mom's like, oh, okay, cool. So nanny walks in. They get there from, you know, their house. They arrive. They eventually moved to Somerset. So they just pop in from Virginia, but they eventually moved. And so nanny and papa show up. They weren't in the house when mom got the call. And mom says, guess what? And my nanny said, Amber's pregnant. Just said it out of the blue. She had no clue. So nanny was weird like that. She would always say things like that. Just some people are more in tune to that than others. And like I said, it really drives my wife crazy that she's not. She's a Halloween freak. I love Halloween too, but she's a Halloween baby. So
yeah, I'm in the same boat as your wife. That's for sure. I can go to supposedly very haunted locations where literally hundreds of people have experiences. And I've just said it yesterday to someone else I was talking to. I'm like the bear spray to the paranormal. That's me. I'm like psychic as a stone and nothing or no one wants to interact with me. But hey, that's all right. So when your dad...
TV show.
What's
Amazon,
that?
Don't you? Don't you have a TV show on Amazon, if I remember correctly?
Yeah, a few different docs, yeah, documentaries. A few on UFOs, and then I just appear throughout one on Bigfoot.
Never see anything, never had a Bigfoot sighting. I've never had anything like that.
No,
so.
No. I've had a couple of very remarkable to me audio experience, possible. Auditory experiences, I should correct, possible, because I didn't see what made the noise, so I can't say for sure it was Bigfoot, right? So, I've had a couple of interesting things. I've seen shadow people when I was 12. That was broad daylight running through the woods.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but that was a one and done. So I'm going to really super haunted locations like Fox Hollow Farm. Nothing happened there. I slept down in the basement. I mean, crazy places that I go. Very lucky to do so, and I just get nothing. So I'm right in the same boat as your wife there. Now, when your dad saw it, were you there when he finally saw that? Like, who was around when your dad finally saw the man in the white shirt?
The only people I remember in the room when it happened was my mother and myself and my father.
So
but
you,
I remember, I'll never forget his face.
You got to see him see it. Like, finally.
And I was like, suck it. I told you I wasn't crazy.
Yeah, because he was the one, like, the whole time, right? Like, going, you guys are nuts. What in the world are you talking about this man, the white jerk?
Well, the thing is, I guarantee that if I were to, like, magically get him to be on this call with us, he'd be like, oh, I didn't see anything. I was like, you are lying. You saw it?
Yeah, I do wonder, though, if all that other stuff was the man. Like, if he had enough energy as far as being seen just to do it in a loop, but then he maybe had energy to do other things, or if that was a completely different entity. I don't know.
I don't know.
No way to know it.
I know that when we lived at Park Plaza, I don't know if this is true or not, but I had heard rumors that a teacher who used to live there was murdered. So I don't know if that's true. It could just be like stories people tell. And
yeah,
maybe, I don't know, but I have no explanation for that's really the only scary thing. There was the person behind me,
right?
That I saw reflection. That was really creepy.
Would it have been better had the door not been open? Like, because to me, that's such a strange part of that, right? Because we're talking about the man in the white shirt and kind of this haunting aspect, but I don't know how a living person could have gotten out that quickly without anybody hearing or seeing, right? But then the door, like, what is the door play into this? Why does a ghost need a door?
And that's the only thing that ever happened at that place.
Wow.
We did move another townhome, not because of that incident, but we moved to another townhome across town. You know, we'd hear things there too. I mean, we'd hear footsteps, you know, on the top floor of our place. Again, we'd hear water turning on and stuff, but that was just normal weirdness that followed me around. You know, we didn't, right. But nothing like that at the other place we lived. Nothing's happened to me where I live now, aside from the 1, 2, 3, 4 incident. Nothing, no ghosties floating around or anything like that. No man in the white shirt. I can only imagine the people at the house when they bought it, just they're going to see the man in the white shirt. I know they are. And it's going to be hilarious.
Yeah. And I wonder,
he really could walk in the room right now. And I'd be like, hey, I mean, no, just talking about you, you know, it's not scary.
Yeah. That's how much you guys saw him. Well, yeah. And I wonder though, besides seeing the man in the white shirt, cause it sounds like he was in a loop, if they would experience things moving and going missing, you know, the new owners of the home. Because they, like you said, that your parents like just sold this house very, very recently. It was actually just days before I think you sent that initial email to me from what you said. So I'm just wondering what they're going through now and what they think about it.
I just found it interesting that like one of the first things they asked was, you know, anything weird ever happened in this house? And we're like, No, nothing at all. Enjoy your new tenants.
You know? So yeah, you guys didn't say anything about it?
They didn't say anything.
No, but you, when they asked, that you guys didn't say, oh yeah, we kind of see this guy or things go missing.
No, my parents didn't say anything
to
them about it. I'm sure if it had been malevolent, they'd been like, well, you know, you might want to avoid the bathroom because there are knives, you know, but no, it wasn't malevolent. So I guess they didn't feel right. You know, bad about it. I mean, the only time the man in the white shirt was scary was that initial time, you know, because you see it walk by and you're like, there's nothing here. So that genuinely was scary, especially when you're a kid. But, you know, as the years go on, it just kept happening. And it was just like another person walking through the house. You just don't even care anymore. I wish I had like captured it on video because, you know, my buddies and I were constantly like, you know, making home movies and stuff, you know, with our video cameras. And I wish I had gotten lucky enough to catch something weird on camera, but I never did.
So you did try and just nothing showed up?
No, we didn't specifically. Well, no, well, we did try to do something. We, buddy of mine, did the Bloody Mary thing in the wind, in the mirror. And I filmed it and nothing happened. So that's really the only time we ever tried to specifically catch something on camera. But I just find it incredible that over the years we lived there, and all the things we did on camera, we never caught anything in the background or anything weird like that. It's a shame. Wish I had.
Well, it's probably just like Bigfoot. That's like they know. And then they're not going to show up when you need them to or want them to. So they're like, yeah, good luck with that. I'm not coming around right now.
One of the reasons why I've never told the stories in a public forum before is that it's not something I want to be known for. I'm, you know, because I mean, I do cartoons and, you know, funny children's books. I really have no interest in being like Zach Bagans or anything like that. You know, it doesn't really interest me. I don't want to be known as that. I'd rather be known for the stuff I'm already known for to a certain group of people. I'm fine with that. But so I honestly don't know if I'll ever tell these stories again in another public forum. So you very well could be the only time these stories get told publicly.
Well, I definitely feel lucky that you chose me. I really do mean that, Corey, 100%.
I appreciate it. You know what? The shows I've listened to, I really like them.
Well, Corey, thank you so much. Thanks again. And keep in touch. Hey, maybe you never know when you talk about these things. Sometimes things take notice. If you see anything or hear anything, let me know. And especially if your wife finally gets to experience something, keep in touch with me, okay?
Honestly, I hope she doesn't because I think it's funny and I enjoy taunting her about it. But if anything else happens, I promise I'll reach out to you.
Okay. Thanks again, Corey. I appreciate you.
Thanks for having me.
Well, I'm so-and-so. I was given this name by my parents. I've been to such and such a college. I've done these things in my profession. I produce a little bark. The Buddha says, forget it. That's not true. That's some story. That's all gone. That's all past. I want to see the real you are now. Well, nobody knows who that is. Because we don't know ourselves except through listening to our echoes. And consulting our memories. But then there's a real evil, and that again leads us back to this question. Who are you? That is the real you. We shall see how they play with this exam by the koans to get you to come. come out of your shell and find out who you really are. Up in the chain, and this is what binds you to the wheel of birth and death. But when you know that every moment in which you are is the only moment, this comes into Zen. A master will say to somebody, now get up and walk across the room. And he comes back and he says, where are your footprints? They've gone. So where are you? Who are you? When we are asked who we are, we usually give a kind of recitation of a history.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then get one-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean Angus ground beef chuck for $3.99 each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.